Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
I gotta think of an intro, or I could just do a normal one. That'd piss Graham off.
Absolutely.
Yes, okay, we're recording. Hold on. My hood is all tangled up. I'm so tangled today.
Okay, Rapunzel, let down your hair.
Ah, funny.
I can do jokes.
British humor is very dry.
Yeah. I'm here for it.
What are you, Italian now? Hey, get out of here. Right.
What's wrong? Anyway, Ron, you want to kick us off?
Sure. I'm going to kick us off right now. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Good Cop, Bad Cop Wrestling Podcast, episode 271, where apparently we are now all cosplaying as the family. Led by Tony D'Angelo. Get out of here. Forget about it. My name is Ryan. I am your host. Yes, you know what? Screw Graham. I'm a host, even though I say I'm a co-host, but still, I'm a host. And joining me, as always, is the magnificent one, Matt Lewis. And Matt, I'm going to let you introduce our guest.
We are very privileged to have an amazing guest for today. We wanted one of the most amazing women in the whole of wrestling podcasting to come on and just light up the airwaves because they've been so supportive. Unfortunately, Trish Stratus wasn't available this week, so we've got someone who is better than that, and we've got SJ with us. Can I say that you've been part of my network for a month or so? You have been such a champion of retweeting and listening to the shows and just being an absolute blast. Welcome to Good Cop, Bad Cop.
Thank you so much, guys. Yeah, I have fun promoting other people and stuff, you know, just to get the word out of all the good podcasts out there. They all deserve a good crowd.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to peel back the curtain a little bit because Chad, who puts all the shows out and does a great job, despite the fact you're juggling two kids and a job and doing the whole network thing. He actually said, I should have got SJ on board years ago. Best PR machine we've ever had on a network. So thank you so much.
I do have a small complaint.
Here we go. Who had 2 minutes 30?
I was going to say, here we go.
You made a joke about having the hardest working woman in podcasting and then went on to use the phrase light it up and did not use AJ Lee as your example. And that's a problem because it was right there. It was spelled out for you.
I apologize about that.
It's fine. She'll be back soon enough. Come on. The pop for AJ, if she comes out at any point over the next year or so, is going to be huge.
Oh, absolutely. And
that would be amazing.
I mean, it was set up for her to come back at the Rumble. But to be fair, I think for her to just appear, no music, just appear through the crowd, they will lose their shit. For sure. She was in the Divas era, but she wasn't a diva. She was a proper wrestler. She could actually go, and no wonder. And that's why she held the Diva Championships uncontested until Paige came along. I mean, Diva Championship was a bit of a joke anyway, because I mean, it was a silver butterfly, I think, wasn't it? What they basically called it, the silver butterfly.
Butterfly belt, man.
It wasn't great in my opinion. In my personal
friend of the show, Josh Robinson once. Did a retelling of the infamous Shawn Michaels Playgirl photo with the Divas title on Twitter.
Yes.
Oh my God. I remember that Playgirl cover. My sister owned it. She's like a big Shawn Michaels fan. And I remember she was like, oh my God, look. And she was like, I'm like, I didn't see that.
Well, if anyone wants to see, go in the Wayback Machine, check out Josh's Twitter, and he did it with the Divas title.
I mean, I'm a very happy out gay man, but I'm very happy married, and Josh is my boy, but I don't want to see him in that context. But anyone out there, I'd rather say it's out there, you can go and have a look at it by all means. Josh is a great guy. I don't know if you caught the show when we were talking about him a couple of weeks ago, SJ. He was actually at Elimination Chamber in Australia.
Perth, Western Australia.
Yeah, and booking and interviewed Bianca Belair, Becky Lynch, some amazing talent out there. And so we're giving a shout out where we can, sort of thing. The fact that he was once on my pokey little show, before I came on this juggernaut of a show. We only have a best on this show, so we're very happy to have. That's why Graham's not here this week, so I can say that.
But didn't your guys' friend though also meet Rhea Ripley too?
He did meet Rhea Ripley, yes.
I'm so jealous.
He met Mammy, yeah. I mean the women's roster of WWE is just full of amazing talent.
Keep it in your pants, Matt. I know we got to get to your bad cop moment at some point where you talk about a different women's division.
You will spoil us a little bit on that side of things. Now, SJ, obviously, as an avid listener, I've also glanced briefly at their notes because they put a picture of it in my chat on Instagram. I'm not going to do any spoilers, don't worry. But we're going to have some good debates here, I think, today, which is always good.
Now, I am always a master debater.
So I've heard, and so
I can tell.
And so we've seen on your Twitch streams.
No, that's on my OnlyPans.
Oh, your OnlyPans.
It's just my nude cooking channel. I'm gonna Michael call this, and I'm gonna stand up while I do the show.
Can I just say, as the chef in the room, I'm laughing my head off it. I'm having so much fun. God. I didn't even bring any wine this week. I didn't need it. Great.
I was going to say, where's the wine at?
I didn't bring any wine this week. We got two bottles back from work this week, and I haven't had any. I used it all up. Well, on that note, how about we talk about some good cop moments?
For sure.
Good. Good.
Now, as always, guests get to go first. So
I hate this part.
Well, unfortunately, guests always get to go first.
I know, but I used to be the guest, but whatever, go ahead.
You used to be, but now you're part of a crew, my man. Anyway, SJ, would you enlighten us, please, as to your best cop moment of the week?
Is it wrestling related or just in general?
Well, do you know what? Graham always says, best cop moment of the week, year, month, whenever, because he just likes to hear good stuff which he can chip in with, sort of thing. Wrestling is preferred, seeing it's a wrestling podcast, of course, but if you've got something else you want to talk about, by all means, plug.
Well, no, I have some good cop wrestling moments. Like, for example, a good one was, I was watching some of the previews. I think I missed TNA this week, but I seen STL was kicking some ass in TNA this week.
Ryan's
that
a
was
big
a good cop moment.
Ryan's a big fan of TNA.
Yes, yeah, in many ways.
But, of course.
But no, I was excited to see her doing some fighting and stuff in there. I thought that was a good cop moment for me.
What's your thoughts on Jordynne Grace?
She's amazing. I love her. Like, she's just, I think she's talented, nicely built. Like, I was happy to see her in the Royal Rumble.
I mean, it was spoiled for me slightly because the Dirt Sheets leaked it, unfortunately, just before. And I was like, oh, so annoyed. I shouldn't have looked at the link. It was my
own
fault.
Oh, no.
I looked at the link. It was my own fault. But I think a lot of people weren't sure when the siren sounded until the Titantron lit up with Jordynne Grace. Then the whole crowd went bananas. And rightly so.
Yeah.
Of course, things have changed a little bit since Scott D'Amore's departure, of course. Hopefully, the stuff on screen stays good, but you never know. You never know, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And also, she's just like an overall good person. I mean, even like when I'm like posting like my health journeys on Twitter and stuff, and she actually responds. Like she says, "Oh, good job, you're doing great." And like, she's really good with her fans that way.
Jordan is someone who WWE dropped the ball because I know they were interested in her when she before she re-signed with TNA. And I think it was actually Triple H that said, "We dropped the ball. We weren't paying enough attention and we screwed up." And I think she would do very, very well in the modern climate of the WWE women's division with that stacked roster that they have. Not that TNA does not have a stacked women's division, but I think Jordan and all the love in the world for TNA. I have loved TNA since it was NWA Total Nonstop Action, paying $10 a week for the pay-per-views. But she deserves a bigger stage. Period.
100%. Oh yeah,
You
I
know,
agree.
and the fact that Anthem is purposely keeping TNA as a small promotion instead of letting them grow organically, which they have been, I feel that some of those talent need that bigger stage. Using TNA talent as the barometer of TNA talent, I'd like to see Motor City Machine Guns. They are now free agents. They are no longer under exclusive contract with TNA, and it's a week before WrestleMania. Just throwing that out there. I'm kind of hoping one of the teams for the ladder match gets the boot, and it's a mystery team, and I would love to hear Motor City Machine Guns theme hit.
How many teams are in that ladder match, Ryan?
Six. There are six teams.
Bearing in mind they had little the three-way ladder match at WrestleMania 33, and at last moment made it a fatal four-way, didn't they? Put the Hardys into it.
That they did. I just feel like going from 12 to 14 people might be, it's already overkill. It's my favorite kind of overkill.
Ever get
But
on the show sort of thing. I mean, that is going to be a clusterfuck. If I don't open the night, then that's bad
yeah.
booking. That's bad pacing, in my opinion. That needs to open one of the nights. Vince McMahon would have put on a fucking pre-show. Like, you don't put on the pre-show. We were
Yeah.
joking at one point that Brock Lesnar will end up on the pre-show. So you can get out there and go home at one point. And to be fair, when we were at WrestleMania 35, when Brock surprisingly came out first for his match with Rollins, the whole crowd was shocked that happened. You need that shock value. I think that Motor City Machine Guns, if they were to arrive in that tag match, that'd be brilliant, I think.
And again, like you said, if you open the show with it, that's a big surprise and a big way to open up what they're calling. And I believe it this time because it's not Vince saying this is the most stupendous WrestleMania of all time. No, when they say this is the biggest WrestleMania of all time, I actually believe them this time because it feels big. But we'll get to that later.
It feels big. It feels big, and it's been feeling big for the last couple of weeks in particular. I mean, some people think that WWE dropped the ball by not having the whole Cody thing. It is quite possible that they were working us the whole time. It is quite possible. Of course, we'll probably never know the truth for real, but how it's waved out is quite nicely, in fact. We're going to transition into Ryan's good cop moment now for a week.
Ah, this
Yes,
is
let's hear
the time when I piss Graham off. I always love that. So I am going to be kind of nice. I'm going to be a slightly nice person right now. And my good cop moment is, in fact, the ending of Monday Night Raw this week. But Graham, I know you're at home, your veins are popping out of your head, your heart is palpitating, you're worried that this is it, this is the moment. Or just everything goes black for you. Just bear with me. I'm not going to go with the beatdown. I am not going to go with the anything. I'm gonna the promos, everything out the window. Specifically, my good cop moment is the use of blood on Monday Night Raw. Now, I have had this conversation with many, many people. I like bloody wrestling. I like blood and guts wrestling. I liked ECW. I liked the Attitude Era. I liked Ruthless Aggression. I loved GCW. I loved CXW. Not CXW. I do love CXW. That's not the one I'm talking about. That's CZW. Let's go with that one.
Yeah, CXW, of course. Tonight, happening right now as it's come out. This is happening right now. CXW is massive right now.
Yeah, anyways, so who had how long it takes Matt to bring up CXW?
And you brought it up, mate. Yeah, you whatever. Brought it up.
Yeah, we're fine. We're fine. Everyone's good.
Three weeks I haven't mentioned the company. 3 weeks.
I like blood. However, I like blood the most when it's used as a storytelling technique. And that's what we got on Raw this week, especially because we have not seen pre-approved, legitimate, intentional blood in WWE since 2008. This has been a long time coming. And it's funny, when Cody came back to WWE a couple of years back, me and my friends were all sitting around watching WrestleMania, and I'm like, Cody's back. And I said, he'll be the first guy to blade in the modern WWE. I knew he would be the first guy because Cody loves to bleed and Cody understands what it means to a story. And what I mean by that, when I say that blood as a storytelling technique, think of so many of the great world title championship wins in history. That babyface win where they hold up the belt, the ref lifts their arms, and they have that dried blood in their hair. They have that trickle down the side of their face. They just went through a war. And it shows. And I think that blood is very, very important when you show something like this. Think back to some of the matches we've had recently over the past, we'll say 10 years or so, that had there been a little bit of blood in that match, it would have made a huge, huge difference to the overall story that WWE was trying to tell in that match. I think back to, Ruthless Aggression obviously kind of overdid it. But think back to, was it Last Man Standing, Matt? John Cena and JBL?
2005, yeah.
Yeah, that was Last Man Standing, right?
I quit.
Or was it I quit? Thank you. But that scene of Cena holding up the belt just covered in blood, it sticks with you.
Yeah, and the weird thing, I hate to cut in, Ryan, sorry.
No.
But at the Judgment Day 2005, of course, Judgment Day 2004 was, I believe, the last mature rated WWE pay-per-view because of how badly Eddie Guerrero bladed. I don't know if you've seen that one, SJ. Eddie versus JBL. It was a good match, to be fair. Eddie went to bat for JBL in that feud because JBL was not ready for main event, a lot of people thought. And Eddie Guerrero made him look like a fucking star. And then Eddie Guerrero bladed with a chair shot and caught an artery or something because he was just spurting blood. And it was graphic. It was a graphic end to a pay-per-view, but Eddie still carried on.
Anyone who hasn't seen that match, here's what I do when I watch that match or when I show that match to someone. From the moment of impact from the chair shot, start counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 seconds after the chair shot. And obviously, Eddie has to go down. He has to pull out the blade. He has to cut himself. In that 5 seconds, he is bleeding more than I think I've ever seen anyone bleed. Brutal. Absolutely brutal. But it, there regardless
have, there
of...
People, there are people who have had, who've been involved in major RTAs that have bled less than Andy Grove did that day.
Regardless of that it was a botched blade or not, it proves my point, though. That sticks with you. You remember that fight. That fight between JBL and Eddie Guerrero. And I feel that that's what we saw on Monday night. is different. It wasn't a war. It wasn't the championship match. But Cody sitting there just drenched in blood, that told a story. And that was super, super important in this build-up to WrestleMania. I'm not going to say, a lot of people are saying this, I'm not going to say this was the greatest Raw of all time. It wasn't. It was a good Raw. It was a great Raw. It was not the best Raw of all time. It was a sum of all of its parts. That's what made this Raw good. But I digress. I really loved the use of blood in a storyline technique. And I'm very, very excited of what that potentially could mean, not only for the company moving forward, but specifically for WrestleMania next weekend. How that style of storytelling can play into what is arguably one of the most important main events in the last 10, 15 years. This is not a match for the WWE Championship. This is a match for WWE. This is a match that changes the landscape and gives us a champion on television every week who defends his championship more than 8 times since last WrestleMania. 8 matches Roman has had. I'm sorry, not even title defenses. Roman has had 8 matches since WrestleMania last year.
Yeah, because of course he didn't, when he fought at Money in the Bank, that was just the Usos versus Solo and Roman. That wasn't even for the titles.
It was just a match, and he's had a couple of house show matches. I think he's only had 5 matches that have been televised since WrestleMania 39. Yes. I have no issues with Roman. I have issues with not seeing the WWE champion. End rant.
I think it's reasonable, to be fair. That is more than reasonable. I'm going to transition to my good cop moment of the week, and I'm going to pick up on something that Ryan has been mentioning regularly the last few weeks. Some of the camera work and little bits like pieces like this on WTV since Kevin Dunn, quote unquote, got broomed. Phenomenal. Phenomenal work. I'm sure that most people will agree. It's just little things like the camera followed Sami Zayn, for example. It's little things like that. Ryan pointed out, like, the logo, like, around the ringside areas, like, they've got the black background on the, like the barricade, they've got the logo front and center in the blackness. It's little things like that Ryan's pointed out, and it's, I'm spotting them because Ryan's mentioned them to me, but you actually able to see the show more. And it's just, I don't know who it is who's now pressing the buttons in the truck, but can they keep doing it, please? Because I feel really, really happy to be a wrestling fan watching that product at the moment. Things, I mean, some people say, like, yeah, I'm just a WWE mark. I'm not just a WWE mark. I do enjoy good professional wrestling in general. Trust me, if I was a WWE mark and that's all I did, I wouldn't work for a fucking indie organization, would I?
No.
I love good professional wrestling. That's what I'm all about. Watching TNA, I do like watching AEW. Some of the stuff I see in the ring is phenomenal. But the booking is terrible sometimes. But that's not, we're not talking about the bad stuff now, this is good stuff. So much stuff now just links from one to the other. It's just, it's perfect storytelling in general. I mean, some people loved or hated the end of Raw this week. Let's face it, it's going to get mentioned quite a lot probably in FanCop when it comes up to Lump Kidney Health. It's going to get a few people talk about it, no doubt. I'm going to say the fact that Rock came out, didn't think Rock was going to be there at that point. We weren't told he was going to be there. We were told he was going to be there next week. comes out, just walks in, up, walks down to the ring, says something to Cody, and then fucks off again. I'm like, what did he say? What did he say? Everyone was leaning in. But we weren't expecting what was going to happen to everyone. Whether people liked it or not, we weren't expecting it.
Yeah.
And people were talking about it. And people...
Well, yeah, that's kind of just like when... Oh, sorry. Please, I was just going to say, that was just like the time... it was just like that time when, you know, the Undertaker whispered in Bray Wyatt's ear. Nobody knows what he said.
Yeah, and obviously Bray... obviously, what can't tell us what was said, and Taker has said that he ain't telling anybody. And
yeah, exactly.
You know what? I respect that.
Yeah, so it makes it more mysterious.
Real quick, Matt, what is your good cop moment? Is it the new camera work or is it the ending of Raw? Because you kind of went off on a tangent.
I did go tangent a little bit, but I'm just the production quality in general.
So, and bringing that because. Like you said, I like to bring these up to you so you notice them. Coming out of commercial break into the JD McDonagh Ricochet match, which was a phenomenal match, might I add. Coming out of commercial break, there was a single 1 minute and 40 second long camera shot. They did not cut once in almost 2 minutes. No, I saw a video of it online. They come, you know, they've been doing the shot where they come back from commercial and the camera is walking towards the ring from the entry ramp. It's that shot. And then the cameraman moves around to the right side of the ring and continues shooting the entire time for almost 2 solid minutes without a single cut.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
It's so much better. And it's funny because I think we all got used to it after a while of just Kevin Dunn's manic camera cutting that now when you go back and watch it, it's like whiplash.
It is like whiplash. I can't remember when I've in my head, it's a steel chair being hit on someone's back.
Rollins hitting someone with a chair and the cameraman bouncing up and down.
Yep. Every single time the chair was run, a different camera, like, you're going to give the kids epilepsy. Okay, stop it. Let us see. We can see it. You haven't got to change the angle. We can see it. Replays are there to show it another time later on. Because believe me, we're going to want to see it again. If you tell the story well, you haven't got to keep cutting to 29 different angles. This, I'm like, it. Ryan, you did media, obviously. You've done all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a difficult thing to do, is it?
It is. I'm not gonna lie. It is, and you know, first and foremost, we are talking about Kevin Dunn. We are talking about someone who did this for 30 years, longer for the WWE. And if you go back and you watch the Attitude Era and Ruthless Aggression, it used to not be this bad. It's definitely. I'm going to give some credit where credit is due. It definitely does sound like a VKM thing. It definitely sounds like Vince yelling in his ear, like, more camera cuts, son of a bitch. Like, it just because we know that's how he was with everything on that program. However, I will also give credit where I have never done live television production. I've never worked for an organization like WWE or the NFL or the NHL or anything like that, where you're doing live production, you know, hundreds of times a year or whatever. But I have been in a television studio and I have done live direction. There is a lot that is happening. It's not easy. However, I feel like that should mean less camera cuts to make your life easier, because pull back the curtain a little bit. You have your live feed and then you have all of these monitors with all of the other cameras on them. So you're directing and you're saying cue camera 3, and that puts it on the ready. So it'd be like cue camera three, cut to camera three. And you're doing that constantly. Now picture Kevin Gunn calling that. Cue camera three, cut to camera three, cue camera four, cut to camera four, cue camera five, cut to camera five, cue camera one. Okay, no, cue camera two, cut to camera two. Like, the insanity of that production truck, I can't fathom. However, again, I'm happy he's gone.
I think I may have been slightly misconstrued in what you said there. I meant regarding to, like, it's not hard to get a camera on your shoulder and walk down a ramp and walk around the ring. It's such a simple effect to do. But God, did it work, doesn't it?
But remember, the cameramen are monkeys. Yep.
True, but it's still got to do. But to be fair, it can. But it's, you still need to have someone who's very good, who's got like a very steady shoulder, like a better term.
These are all steady cam. Those guys, and not taking anything away from them, they're tripods with a pulse. Like, that's what they are. Their job is to point the camera where someone tells them to. And I get, like, again, I'm not taking anything away from any of them. I'm just saying the issue wasn't them. The issue was Kevin Dunn.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Kevin Dunn being gone has certainly made things much, much less tiring on the eyes, but that way. It's much easier to watch. And if it's easier to watch, people watch it more. I mean, I don't know if I don't know how bad SJ felt with Kevin Dunn's work, or to be fair, some people don't know that Kevin Dunn was behind the scenes. I don't know how familiar you are with Kevin Dunn's work.
I think his work's pretty like there's like some good scenes and some bad scenes. I mean, there's, like you said, like this past week it was really good camera movement and stuff, but sometimes there's bad ones too.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing
I think of a good example.
Oh, it's sometimes hard to come up with examples off the top of your head. It's all good. Kevin Dunn, yeah, now he's gone. It's certainly been a lot. There's been a lot of tweaks to the presentation of a product, which is only emphasizing that. Because the main thing is that they actually focus the camera, not the cameras, they focus the lights on the ring. So you're actually looking at what you're paying to actually come and see the actual wrestling. No distractions. This is the story we want to tell you, sort of thing. And I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Let's just hope.
For Kevin Dunn, he will always live on to those of us who think that Triple H's best theme song was the My Time theme song that he used in the late 90s, which includes the line, "You let that music keep playing, Mr. Dunn."
That really?
The My Time theme song is, "Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H. You better let that music keep playing, Mr. Dunn," right before it goes into the full beat.
I was today years old when I realized that was what it was being said.
Matt, have you not figured out that I have been paying far too much attention to professional wrestling for 30 years, that my brain is full of wrestling knowledge?
Oh no!
And then mush.
To be fair, mine too, bud. But I'd never paid that much attention to that song. I didn't know it was Mr. Dunn. He said, "Now I'm gonna hear it every time I fucking hear the song." Of course, aren't
you?
I
sure are, and I'm okay with that.
Oh god. To be fair, Motorhead still kicks ass, as far as I'm concerned. Right, I'm gonna be a bit flexible with the speed check for Good Cop. Have you got anything else good related, SJ, you would like to talk about? Maybe 90 seconds, but we'll flow with it today. We'll flow with it.
Oh yeah, well, no, like I said, I was like I said, the whole thing with SDL appearing on TNA and winning that, and making, like, and moving to Rebellion, that kind of excited me. Another Good Cop moment is, like, I've been thinking about, like, you know, next week is WrestleMania week, and I'm looking forward to watching, like, all of the collective shows.
Very cool.
So, excited for that.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the fact that we are getting a contracted WWE wrestler in a GCW show. That excites
Shayna
me.
Shayna Baszler! Woo!
Versus Masha. Shayna and Masha are going to murder each other.
Yeah, it's gonna be a sick match.
And
yeah,
I want to point out how smart GCW was. GCW booked a lot of their shows in the in-between times between WWE events. And this is, I feel, the first year where the shows I want to watch are on the times when I can watch them. And I really, really am happy with that. I'm going to get zero sleep next week, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. For sure. It's going to be a great week.
Yeah, it's also Japanese Grand Prix weekend as well, so it's going to be literally, that's finishing, and I'm off, and I've got work as well, Saturday and Sunday as well, so I'm going to be absolutely fucked.
That's okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely fucked. It's allowed, it's allowed.
But that's okay, that's what catch-up's for, it's all good. Ryan, what
exactly. Anything
else good cop light for you, bud?
Yeah, so how do I put this?
I said I was gonna be lenient at the time. I didn't mean this lenient.
I know. I'm trying to word it in in the right way.
I can hear angry keys on the keyboard now. Like, what the fuck, Lewis?
So obviously, A, I'm very excited about WrestleMania next week. Yeah. I'm very happy that starting tonight, as of recording, we are finally getting the official debut of Jade Cargill on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. Whether or not it's a match or not, at least she's finally working. And I'm really excited to see the progress she's made since she's been under the umbrella of WWE and working at the Performance Center and working with that top tier talent they have to get their superstars ready for prime time. Since I wasn't here last week, or I guess none of us were because we just did a bullshit episode. I really, really did like Cope and Cage I Quit match. I thought it was a nice, fun, brutal match. I also really liked the women's tag team street fight on Rampage because they did Rampage live, so I actually watched it for once. And it was Willow and Chris Statt versus Sky Blue and, oh my God, who is Julia Hart? God, I'm having brain farts today. Really fun match. The best part, and this is what I will end on, was Sky Blue dumping out a bag of thumbtacks and Chris Statlander saying, "I don't think so," and then grabbing a second bag of thumbtacks and dumping that out as well. I love that kind of brutality. So that was just a lot of fun.
Fair enough.
That is fun. That is.
Now, allow me to bit of self praise here briefly. Okay, I apologize for this, but my speed check. I want to talk about CXW. Now I don't. I realize that I'm plugging something here, but it just goes to show how far the company has come since the start, since September 11th, 2021. This week we had Blue Kane drop out, unfortunately, and he was meant to be in a casket match with Damien the Devil. So Tim Strange is going to be wrestling in this casket match in his place. And taking the spot on the card is going to be Kelly Six versus Anthony Ogogo. Now, some people will probably know him for obviously wrestling in AEW, trained by the Rhodes Brothers, of course. But I know him best as being an Olympic boxer, because that's I watch Olympics every 4 years, and I the fact that they're able to get Anthony Ogogo with 5 days notice as a replacement, that shows the kind of pulling power CXW now has. And I'm very proud and privileged to be a part of that small group of people working with an independent company like that. It's so much fun to be on the inside sometimes. I don't take the job lightly. I don't take it for granted. I love this business and I love being able to contribute slightly to it. Ryan, I know that you've probably heard enough of me talking about CXW, so I'm just going to shut up here. But if actually want, if you we have rebuttal though, of course. So anyone has anything they wish to say about someone else's moments, SJ, you have the opportunity now to respond to anyone else's speed check.
Okay, so I know that Ryan was talking about how he liked Cody Rhodes being brutalized and everything like that. I enjoyed that too, but like growing up watching wrestling, I've always been so used to seeing The Rock as a good guy, so it was kind of different for me seeing him be this heel and just like making people bleed. It was just like so different for me. But yeah, like I said, that's really the only thing. Like that was kind of like my bad cop moment, seeing him be this bad guy beating the shit out of Cody Rhodes.
Well, we can lab it out in bad cop
And because like
momentarily.
you get used to him
Well, we
seeing, yeah, like I mean you I'm so used to seeing him, being in like family friendly movies and being cute and everything these past few years, and then this guy comes out, it's like holy fuck, who are you, kind of thing, but yeah, other than
where have you
that though,
been all
like
my
it
life,
was fun.
Ryan?
I do like,
Ryan is
yeah, I mean, I
bouncing
enjoy
hands in
the blood
space.
and everything. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I do enjoy the blood and everything, but it was just kind of weird for me seeing him be like that. But other than that, that's pretty much
I mean, that's fair. Ron,
it.
The Rock was never a face. People do not understand this. The Rock was never a baby face. Neither was Austin. Neither was DX. There were no baby faces in the Attitude Era. I will die on this goddamn hill. The Rock was never a baby face. The Rock was a heel since day one. Even when he was the blue chipper, he was a fucking heel. I'm going to break the news now. I have a lot of things that I need to say about this. And Matt and I discussed it earlier about trying to figure out a way where I'm not derailing the show. But I have things to say. The Rock was never a face. I'm sorry. Anyone listening, The Rock was never a face. Sorry. It's just, it never happened. You never saw it. You think you did, you didn't.
So, for context, Ryan, The Rock was never a face.
Correct.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Also,
Okay.
Matt, I am happy that CXW is doing well. I know we give you a lot of a lot of flack for that, but it's good when independent organizations do well because the independent organizations, whether you watch them or not, guess where all of your favorite WWE, AEW, TNA, Ring of Honor, New Japan wrestlers come from? They come from the fucking indies. So when indies are doing well, WWE is going to reap the benefits. AEW is going to reap the benefits. The indies do well. SJ, do you watch NXT?
I did used to watch it before, but I do follow it on like on social media.
Okay.
But what, yeah, what is it you wanted to say about it?
Well, and Matt, I know you watch NXT.
Yeah.
There used to be a joke locally to me where you could go to Beyond Wrestling and see NXT a year before it happens because so many of those guys in NXT came from the New England independent scene. Right now, it's happening again. Josh Briggs, Dijak, Carmelo Hayes. I have seen all three of those guys in a bar with maybe 50 people in attendance. They all got their start here. The indies are so friggin' important, and people don't seem to understand that. So this is a fun little story before we move on to Matt's rebuttal. I went to an independent show years and years ago, And during that independent show, two of the independent performers decided to tussle my beard because they thought it was a good beard. One of them was Biff Busick, the man who would later go on in WWE to be known as Oney Lorcan. The second one, I don't know if you've heard of her. I don't think she's done much, but her name was Mercedes KV. I think she went on to be Sasha something. I don't know. I think she's back to being Mercedes again, though. I'm not sure. That's how friggin' important the independents are. People, go support your local independent because that random girl or guy that you're taking a picture with and getting a $10 autograph and a t-shirt and, shaking their hand, they could be the next highest paid female performer in the history of professional wrestling. Go to your
Yeah.
local indie shows, support them. I don't care if there's 20 people there or 2,000 people there. Just get your asses up and go to your local indie shows. Fuck.
As if to prove the point
Wow.
well,
That is so true, though.
I mean, Zack Knight, who's just debuted in AEW, for example, at the last CXW event last year, he went into the event holding the CXW World Championship. And now he's on AEW. That's a big deal. I mean, we knew he was destined for better than CXW. It's not a secret, but it meant a lot because that name put a lot of credit on our championship. He held that for a better part of a year. Sometimes you just can see someone is destined for higher, stronger, better, all these sorts of things. I remember seeing Orange Cassidy on the Indies. I actually got the fist bump in WrestleMania weekend. It was something. It was like the weakest fist bump you've ever seen in your life. And but my God, and I was like, I hope he doesn't go to WWE. This is back when Vince was there, obviously. I was like,
Yeah, they wouldn't make good use of him there.
because they would have ruined him. They would have ruined his gimmick. They took him away, made him like a businessman or something like that. Stupid thing. But I think now, if he was to leave AEW, I think he'd be allowed to keep the Orange Cassidy gimmick. Because Triple H, you mentioned it before, Ryan, Triple H gets it. Triple H gets the business.
Look at Jade. Jade Cargill is a known quantity from AEW. She didn't have a super long independent career before going to AEW.
No.
Vince McMahon would have changed her name, dumped her in NXT, and maybe we'd see her a couple of years down the road on the main roster as whoever.
Yeah.
Triple H said, no, people know who Jade Cargill is because Triple H has decided that he will acknowledge the existence of All Elite Wrestling. It's smart. You can use their work, you can take what they did for you and bring it into your company, and you don't have to make something up. It's already there.
Yeah.
The inevitable, I'm sorry to all you folks out in Radio Land. The inevitable debut of Maxwell Jacob Friedman in WWE will be huge because Triple H
Yeah.
gets that he don't need a change. He's fine the way he is. And then a couple of years down the road, you want to gimmick change him? That's fine. But bring them in as they are and let the people decide.
On that note, I just want to ask you both a question here before we move to Bad Cop, because I feel like I can do this. I've been here 5 years. I can do this. Should Moxley leave AEW and should he go back to WWE? Because obviously things have changed now, and he would get the superstar treatment, I feel. Would he keep Moxley or would he? Because they called him Mox, haven't they? Roman and Rollins when they had their rivalry back at Rumble last year. Rollins name dropped him as Mox, not as Ambrose, obviously. I think he'd have to come back as Moxley. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think so.
I think he would. Case in point,
yeah,
Sean Spears.
That's a good point. Sean Spears came back as Sean Spears. Yeah, absolutely. So he totally get. I mean, I'm not entirely. I mean, there's only a few people I think who are probably knocking on the door, hoping they can come back now.
Malachi Black.
I'm thinking more of a Canadian guy. From your neck of the woods, Ryan, who was born in Manhasset, New York. I should probably say this guy was. But he's got so many NDAs right now. I don't think better we want to touch him.
So I've actually been thinking about this a lot lately. The most likely trio, I've decided on three, who are likely to leave leave AEW and return to WWE are Aleister Black, Keith Lee, and Dustin Rhodes.
Dustin makes sense.
Dustin's going to want to finish his career with his brother, especially if his brother is world champion and they can have a world title match, brother versus brother, which I think.
Yeah.
Did Bret and Owen ever do it?
Don't think so. Not for the title.
Could this potentially be the first WWE championship match between brothers? Real brothers. None of this Kane Undertaker bullshit. Because
even Jeff and Matt didn't do it for the title. Because Jeff and Matt had fights, but they never had a fight over the world title. Hardcore title they did, but never over the big belt.
This could be a huge opportunity. It allows Dustin one more run. It allows him to retire on his own terms. And it just allows him. It's the same thing that I see with William Regal. He wanted to work with his son. His son was in WWE. So he's like, and we've talked about this before. I will give credit where credit is due. Tony Khan did the right thing by letting him out of his contract so he could go be with his son.
On that note, obviously he'd been back on TV a couple of times now since his thing expired in January. Of course, sorry, Graham, the WWE 2K24 video game, of course, William Regal is all over that game. He's everywhere. He's in every single game mode. they obviously waited until it was half the time expired to do that, of course. That's good booking again. That's also good because we'll probably the greatest man to never be a world champion, but Goldust is very close behind.
I love Goldust.
Roddy Piper, maybe that the only thing from his career was a world championship, and even that didn't dampen his career. Some people don't need a world title to be brilliant and be amazing, but it would just be that last tick. I'd watch Goldust get his first world title match. I mean, who wouldn't want to watch that?
That would be awesome.
One last hurrah. They couldn't even do it at SummerSlam.
Against Cody.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Goldust versus Cody. At SummerSlam.
No. I mean, I love Goldust as much as the next guy. The Natural versus the American Nightmare. It's got to be, yeah. Dustin versus Cody.
You can. I. You know what I mean? But maybe he could, break out a few Goldust bits during the match sort of thing.
Oh, I'm not saying he shouldn't do Goldust stuff. He absolutely should. But that match, Natural and the American Nightmare.
Triple H, book it. And unlike Vince, Triple H ain't scared to book it. If it becomes a thing to do, I think us as fans would say, like, one time? Yeah, we'll watch it. We don't want to see, like, 90 matches of it, but one. Just one be good.
Yeah, that would be great.
That would be great. But now the transition stuff that isn't so great. It's time to go to Bad Cop stuff.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Right, We've done the good. Now let's look at the bad. SJ, you're up. What is your worst cop moment of the week, month, year, decade, century, millennium, whatever?
I think I already talked about briefly earlier about the whole thing. Like I said that. Like I wasn't like I loved the blood and all, but I wasn't really a fan of The Rock brutalizing Cody Rhodes. But that was like the bad cop moment of the week for me. And then also with Roxanne Perez turning heel too. Like it's just it's like I don't know. It's just so like because there's such like I said, there's such a good like gimmicks and stuff like. Like just seeing Roxanne Perez turn heel too, that was just different. But yeah, those were my like two like bad cop moments this week.
There have been some very good changes in terms of attitudes, particularly this close to Stand and Deliver and WrestleMania. I mean, a heel Roxanne Perez? Yeah, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I think she can do it well.
I believe
Ryan, you yourself said back on a former show of yours, said about Bailey, a similar sort of thing, which I'm thinking here is like Bailey grew up as a fan of the business and she's great at being a baby face. She was. She's doing an okay job as sort of like a tweener face heel sort of now. But she also thought that she'd be really good as a heel. Because of how good she loved the business. And she smashed it as a heel. Absolutely smashed it. So Ryan was absolutely right. He was ahead of a curve. Oh, yeah. He was ahead of a curve way before she went heel. Ryan was.
Great. Vince should have asked me my opinion. I could have helped him out.
Yeah, you were very,
and
very...
the whole damage control thing, too, was good.
Damage control was very good. And to be fair, I'm still liking it, even though she's not in damage control anymore. I'm liking... the whole Japanese yakuza, like a better term.
We're getting a double turn at Mania. Coda's been in on it the whole time.
Pardon? Say again?
Coda, she's been in on it. Her turn on Bailey, it's just so Bailey could have eyes and ears inside the faction. I love Dakota. I really do.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
Fun fact, I just found out the other day that Dakota and Shayna live together. And they have a bunch of gaming rooms in their house, and they just nerd out together all day, and that's adorable.
That is my idea of heaven. Well, I live with that. Okay, my husband obviously has got a gaming den. We actually need to get a bigger house, bigger flat, because we haven't got a big enough place for all of the gaming consoles. He's got about 12, and they're all hooked up to the TV as well. I'm like, you can't play them all at the same time. See, our energy bill went up by a third when you plugged them all in.
But I've only got
my husband. He probably wants his own room.
But I've only got five hooked up to my TV right now. But in my office, I've got a Series X or a Series S hooked up to my gaming PC, so I can play it on my monitor. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, I think the only ones he hasn't got is Saturn.
Oh, I'm sorry, six. I have six. There's six.
You're good. I think the only one he hasn't got, I think, anymore, is Saturn, and because he sold it stupidly, he regrets it to this day. During when he was at uni, he regrets selling it. I'm trying to get him a new one, but I can't really get a good one for a cheap price. They're going like fucking hotcakes at the moment. So anyone that knows of a Sega Saturn, don't tell Chris I'm getting him one, okay? But do direct me towards a cheap one that works. I love Dakota Kai, absolutely love her. Devastated when she got injured, because. Damage control.
Oh yeah, I remember great. That.
They were doing great work, damage control. But these things unfortunately happen. It just sucks that it happened when it did. But she came back at just the right time for this whole angle to kick off. And I mean, we'll see if Ryan's then predicted to come through. I mean, I'd be here for it for sure. But who knows? Who knows?
We'll see what happens.
We will indeed. Ryan, should we strap in or strap on?
This is going... Oh, what a deal. Sorry. Oh, no manual. Anyways, I just found a really good deal on Here Comes the Pain. Anyways.
Ryan is kept Ryan flinging some
Well,
blank.
I was curious how much Saturns were going for right now, so I jumped on eBay real quick, and then I was like, I wonder if there's any good deals on games right now. And the first thing I saw was Here Comes the Pain for $25, which is not bad.
Like sold.
No, no manual. I need manual for the collection. Anywho. Okay, so I'm gonna break the rules a little bit
Ah,
because
it's fine. Teacher's not here.
it's true. It's true. It's damn true. I am actually going to pull a quote from one of our fan cop moments because it's what I feel. It worded what I wanted to say for my bad cop moment in a really good way. So we can read it again later. It doesn't really matter, but this is from our good friend, the king of the pig bladders.
Okay.
My bad cop moment is Mercedes.
That goes my bad.
And I love Mercedes. I love Sasha. I have the utmost respect for her, especially what she just did. She just became the highest paid female professional wrestler in the world. All the credit to her. So I'm just going to re read what he wrote, and then I'll go into it. And this is his bad cop moment. Mercedes M Monet or Monet, depending on who's saying it, is not a draw in my eyes for her promos or for her commentary skills. She needs to be wrestling, doing the one thing she can do well. And I agree 150%. Why have we had three Mercedes appearances, two of which were the exact same promo? Her debut and the week after, the promo was identical. It was pointless. And then she's on commentary, and God, was she awful on commentary. You have one of the best women wrestlers in the world on your roster. You just paid her $14 million over the next 5 years or 4 years, whatever, however long her contract is. If I'm Tony Khan, I'm getting my money's worth. She's having a match. I don't even care if it's a squash match. She's having a match within 7 days of her debut. How do you put her on commentary? Oh, because you really want her to face Willow, so you need to do this really, really obvious angle where Willow wins number one contendership and then Willow goes to Dynasty or Dynasty, depending on what fucking weird ass country you're from, and wins the TBS championship. And then Sasha goes after the mid-card title because she got hurt in a match with Willow a year ago. This is stupid. This is absolutely atrocious storytelling. You're wasting your investment. And I understand she's only made three appearances for the company. I get it. There's still time. And if Graham were here, he'd be rolling his eyes, go, well, just wait for it to play out. Wait for it to play out. This is not what we're talking about here. We're talking, let's just go over the really big AEW signings over the past, 6 months or whatever. Edge. Pretty much in a feud, in a match, right quick. At least getting physical. Even in his debut, he was getting physical. He's hitting spears, hitting people with chairs. Cool. Doing something. Will Ospreay walks into the company. And granted, yes, I know he had matches before he officially signed with AEW, but he officially signs, walks in there, and starts putting on fucking clinics on free television. On pay-per-view, whenever he steps through those ropes, he puts on a hell of a performance. Okada Okada comes into AEW, has matches, reinvents himself in a way that I never thought Okada could do. What's the problem with Mercedes? Why aren't we doing something with this? She is so goddamn good. I just don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, and I had someone, what do the kids say these days? Clap back at me. Saying, well, what about WWE with Jade? They haven't done anything with Jade. Jade's an untrained professional wrestler. She needs to learn how to wrestle. So they brought her to the PC and she's been working out 5 days a week. Mercedes is a, Matt, sorry, correct me if I'm wrong, 7-time world champion?
In WWE, she won the women's title 5 times on Raw, once on SmackDown.
And, yeah, so, okay, 6-time. 6-time world champion. Or, 7, because she held the IWGP women's.
Yeah.
Yes. So she's a 7-time.
And a 2-time women's tag team champion as well.
Yeah. This is a decorated talent who knows how to wrestle. I just brought it up earlier. I used to see her wrestle in a Elks Lodge in front of 40 people. This chick knows what she's doing. Like, put her in the ring and let her do what she does. Now, maybe there's something else. Maybe she's not technically medically clear. Maybe her injury was worse than she thought, and she's still kind of, they're giving her still some time to get back into ring shape. I don't know. But a squash match. Let her come out there and
kick off.
Face Sky Blue or something in a 3 to 5 minute, just look at me, I'm Mercedes. I can do shit. Woo! You know, like, whatever. Just give me more than these god-awful promos. We all know. I'm sorry. If you don't know this, you haven't been paying attention. She works better as a heel anyways. Face Sasha sucked. She was terrible. Yeah. Heel Sasha.
That is true.
What was that WWE documentary, Matt, where they went through like all of the best bad guys? What was that called?
Oh, now you're asking.
I mean, hell, it could have just been called WWE Heels. I don't know.
I think that sounds right.
Anyways, I always remember the quote, and this was talking about the infamous situation with Izzy at NXT, the little girl dressed up as Bayley.
Yeah.
And Sasha said, "You don't make little girls cry, but Sasha Banks does." And I was like, wow. Wow. Like, such a great way to encapsulate her entire character for the heel run. Yeah. It was amazing. It just, and I don't understand what's happening. Tony Khan, you have arguably the greatest professional wrestling roster in the history of the business. What are you doing? You're putting on phenomenal matches. And credit where credit is due, the women's booking is getting better in AEW. It is Matt, please. Save your questions for the end. There's a very low bar set for this. So improvement is improvement.
That was what I was about to say.
Just do, if you want to be a professional wrestling program, be a professional wrestling program. And that includes using one of the best women's wrestlers on the planet as a wrestler, not as a commentator, not as a promo machine, because she's not really good at either of those things.
Weird thing is that she actually can talk. We've seen her do good promos, as you pointed out, the whole, but Sasha Banks does.
But she does good promos as a heel.
Yeah, but I'm saying, as a heel, she's an absolute, because obviously, the whole, like, I've always thought that the whole boss time act, I thought it was always a really good heel gimmick in general. It doesn't really work as a face. And it's the same thing in AEW. She's just called the CEO instead of the boss. You know, it's fine.
I will give it time.
You know, how much
I am, if nothing but patient, I have sat through 3.5 years of the Bloodline. I have sat through 30 plus years of Vince McMahon booking. I can be patient.
But how patient can you be? I'm going to ask this question to both of you. We've asked this question multiple times, but it's your first time on the show, so it's your chance to actually like contribute obviously this question. Ryan, you've just said, and correctly, that Tony Khan has got one of the best rosters in general on the planet, maybe even in history. The wrestling is good when it happens and it's put together well. So why aren't people turning up to watch it? Because they had 4,000 people in an 18,000-seater stadium arena this week again. I mean, like, we've mentioned before, don't book such big arenas, but it's good stuff they are doing, but why aren't they filling it? Are the tickets too expensive? I don't know how much I charge you for AEW tickets. Can you help me here, guys?
They're about on par with WWE.
Okay.
Sometimes a little cheaper.
Yeah, like, I mean, they have, like, here, when they're coming here in May, and I was looking at ticket prices, and I think they were like 140 to 200 bucks, roughly. But usually they go down closer to the show. Like if they show that it's not selling, it goes down closer to the show time.
You still think they do better than a quarter full sometimes. I mean, like, just book a smaller venue. Sell out. Like, we are sold out here. You can tell when something's sold out. And when something's not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of people were talking about like Edge not being Adam Copeland. Should have been gearing up for WrestleMania season if he was doing WWE. But instead, he's doing a. Oh, fuck. Who let him in?
I don't know. I don't know. Matt, I also want to answer your questions because it's a really simple answer. It's a niche product. It's WWE. God damn, I'm trying to say something
here. Hello everyone, I'm Georgia Griffith.
I'm not sure what that was.
We are federal government contractor and we provide a range of services, primarily management consulting in the financial industry.
What the hell?
We're trying to photo bomb or video bomb your meeting, whatever it is, but we can't do it. We can't. We can see you, but I don't know if it's working. Later, guys. Bye.
I'm glad I didn't swear with Jackson in the room. Jesus Christ.
Anywho,
like before, I was rudely interrupted.
Absolutely. Continue, please.
WWE, first and foremost, is a known quantity. Again, it is something that the parents of a lot of these kids grew up watching. So they introduced their children to WWE. And AEW is not a known quantity. It is a new promotion. And this is not a bad thing. AEW is more focused on in-ring product. Now, I had a friend of mine say something very poignant. And I'm going to ask both of you, just one word answer. What is the most important part of a wrestling show? The wrestling or the promos?
Right. I'd say the promos for me. Like, they got to upsell somehow.
Matt?
Well, I go to a wrestling show to watch wrestling.
So, Matt, you're incorrect. Have they ever cut to a commercial in the middle of a promo?
Yes.
Generally. Where do they cut to commercial?
Well, not usually, no.
Matt, where do they cut to a commercial?
During a break in the match, yeah.
So tell me, what's the most important part? It is the promo and the storytelling. The in-ring product is secondary. And it has been for years. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's how it is. AEW putting a bigger focus on in-ring product, they're not going to pull in the core WWE fan base. They're going to pull in the core pro wrestling fan base. And as important as they are, look at your local independent shows where the only focus is the in-ring primarily. They ain't pulling 15,000 people to these indie shows. They're pulling a couple hundred, if that. If they're lucky, they're pulling a couple hundred. AEW, fuck, I feel a rant coming on. Shit. I didn't want to, but I'm going to have to.
He says that. He
watch Dynamite this week. Watch Dynamite Live. Watch any of the Dynamites since they rebranded a couple weeks back, a couple months back, whatever it was, when they started doing the new tunnels and everything, the 3-4 weeks ago. For a show that prided itself on being the antithesis of WWE. White ropes, LED barricades, LED ring apron, opening the shows with promos. They've done everything over the past couple of weeks to make their show look more like WWE. And you know that's not on accident. It's because Tony Khan is trying to figure out how the fuck he can get 11 straight sellouts like WWE has done. It's, and again, it's not a shot at AEW. I love AEW. I love good old-fashioned pro wrestling. I love it. But I'm not the average fan. I'm a hardcore fan. I will watch just about anything. If there's a ring and there are wrestlers and there's wrestling, I will watch your show. Until you give me a reason not to. Or if you're EC3, because Control Your Narrative can suck my dick. You know, that's it. It's not a hard nut to crack. WWE has 11 straight television sellouts because they have The Rock. They have Cody Rhodes. They have an established fan base. They have a... Just this modern version, they've got a 45-year, 50-year legacy. That's why they do it. That's why for so many years that when they were putting out the worst professional wrestling product, the worst sports entertainment product that we'd ever seen, people still showed up. TK, your rope color and your LED boards don't make you special. You just need to understand booking. Rant over.
I didn't even know they changed the look yet. Like, I mean, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's if you look at Dynamite and the first thing I noticed was how many things reminded me of WWE. And the funny thing is, there are things about WWE that I still hate. So they didn't do themselves any favors in my eyes. They made themselves worse. I hate white ropes. Absolutely abhor white ropes.
Why?
It's too sterile. Reminds me of a hospital.
I get it. I do get it.
Especially in WWE, it makes no fucking sense. You literally call them the red brand and the blue brand. Fuck. It's not hard. Red ropes, blue ropes.
But then for NXT, wouldn't you have gold card ropes?
Gold ropes would be great, man. WrestleMania, Caesar's Palace, 9. I'm just going to say random numbers, but whatever. The black ropes with the gold middle rope? Oh, that was a sexy looking ring.
I think we've lost him, SJ.
I never ever thought to look at ring rope colors. Now I'm going to be curious when I go to shows.
This is what he does, though. This is what he does. He finds these little things, and when you think about it, he's absolutely right.
I know what I like, and I like these kinds of things. Raw this past week, they wanted to sell extra tickets at the Allstate Arena in Rosemont, Illinois. I know it's suburb of Chicago, whatever, but whatever. Anyways.
Yeah.
So they used the NXT pay-per-view stage that's not as tall, so they could sell seats up in the upper section behind the stage. Small change. Loved the aesthetics. Couple months back, they're in Detroit. I think it's Detroit. There's a big snowstorm. The integrity of the arena, they're concerned about how much snow is on top of the arena. So they set up a different stage so they don't have to hang anything. They set up a lighting rig around the ring with the pillars. Little thing. Looked great. Loved it. Big sterile LED board? Boring. Boring.
I mean, you've mentioned before, Ryan, as well, about how WWE don't really have Titantrons anymore. But it's literally the person's name. It just flashes a few times and the music's playing. I mean, it does a job. But we grew up in the Attitude Era where we saw these brilliant, 30-second looping videos with,
Matt,
and things like that.
I am about to piss you off so badly.
I know.
Best Tron in the game right now, Logan Paul. It's got video, it's got high spots,
And I muted him.
It's an actual Titantron. I am not giving any credit to Logan Paul for this. But his Tron video is sick.
I would also like to counter by saying that Kevin Owens actually has got actual video in his Titantron as well. It's not just the KO lettering, of course. He actually got Kevin Owens and like it's a bit black and white in places, but that's all part of his aesthetic. So I think they're starting to feed it back in gradually with more and more. I mean, it's not like everyone on the roster hasn't got great stuff they could put into that. I mean, they do great video packages. I mean, come on. Get some interns on it at least. Come on, Trips.
They do, and they've been doing this for 30 years. They finish a pay-per-view that literally just happened, and they already have a video package ready to go as that pay-per-view goes off the air. They have an amazing video team. I don't even remember what we're talking about at this point. Because I'm so far off topic.
That's okay.
Okay, well, I'm going to talk about my backup moment of the week.
Oh, yeah. Fuck Mercedes on commentary. Now you can go.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. But I've been struggling to find a really decisive bad cop moment this week. Because in general, I think wrestling-wise, there's been a lot of good stuff. I mean, we've mentioned, little bits here and there about, obviously, TNA was good, obviously, with, the wrestling stuff. WWE are building very well to WrestleMania, which, compared to last year, feels like night and day. The build has been so much better this year, and we know why. It's not a secret. We know why it's better this year, because somebody's not got their hands all over it. Can you imagine what a Raw after Mania is going to be like this year? Better.
Stop. I can only get so hard, please.
But I've got to touch on something about the last moment on Raw this week. Because we all loved, for the most part, seeing The Rock, quote unquote, go postal on Cody. And it was a great image. It had a great visual. Remembered it all, for sure. I mean, the fact that he was dropping curse words here and everywhere. I mean, I was like, we're no PG era now, boys. We are very much, nope. We are very much in what seems to be like a hybrid sort of era, lack of a better term. And and it looks great. Thing is, a lot of people on socials have been saying that Rock's going to screw Roman at Mania. Now, that might still happen. But I just think with the narrative that was told Monday night, does that work? It's more of a question cop, really, for Bad Cop here now.
I can answer that.
Of course.
I already figured this part out. I book all day long. That's all I do is I book professional wrestling in my head. And I'm not saying this is what's going to happen. I'm just saying this is a logical way to do that. Rock screws Roman. Cody wins the title. It is revealed that the plan all along was Rock was going to be on the inside, kind of like what I said with Coda earlier. And regardless of what SRP is reporting, that what Rock said to Cody was, I need to go deeper. I'm going to beat the shit out of you, but just know the plan's still on. Boom. Logical. If that were to happen, that's the logical way to do it. Is Cody and Rock were always in on it because Rock was always loyal to the Rhodes family. That's how you could do it.
Wow, I'm saying it's
going to happen, yeah. But fantasy booking is all I do.
On that note, then, who wins the US title triple threat?
So I've already fantasy booked this as well, just because Logan's involved.
Yeah, as long as Logan, you know, lose the championship and is out of WWE for 6 months
injured. Now, I booked this with just Orton and Logan involved. This was prior to KO.
Yeah.
But KO can be in there too. Opening match, night one. We've got the Gaudi Prime logo adorning the ring. Match ends, win, lose, draw. Let's just say Orton wins the title. He pulls out a knife and cuts up the ring apron or the ring canvas so they can't have the logo on there anymore.
Okay, that's very funny. I do like that. I thought it'd be really, really funny, given that WWE are now doing, it seems like they're going to be moving to doing poop promotion stuff. I have no problem with that. No one's going to be looking at that, really, are they? I mean, let's face it, it'd probably be less in your face than those bloody billboards were during the Rumble. They're distracting.
Personally, myself. I love it. I loved that WCW had a logo in the middle of the ring, yeah. Even when it was Snickers or whatever. I love that shit.
I just feel like it needs to be the right logo. So
not Prime.
Well, exactly. I was thinking that maybe just for the irony, there could be a big ass panda in the middle, and maybe the WWF could sponsor WWE.
Or the worst thing ever happens, there's a big panda in the middle, and then Sammy Guevara comes out.
We don't want him in WWE.
No, we don't. I don't want him in professional wrestling, but I also didn't like him before he was threatening to rape Sasha Banks.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's we won't go there again.
Don't censor me.
I'm not censoring you, but let's not go there again if we can help it, is what I'm saying. We want to try and stay a little bit upbeat.
My devil's advocate from 2 weeks ago may or may not ever see the light of day. It was bad. It was real bad.
Oh, man.
It's already lined up for the alternative Christmas cracker.
Oh, God. That one better be rated TVMA for I said something really screwed up.
Everything on the network is rated explicit. You're fine.
Oh, good. Because this was explicit.
Including JGB Sports.
Well, is that kid has got a fucking mouth on him. Jesus Christ. You know, anyways,
I genuinely fear for Graham when Jackson actually develops a potty mouth properly.
Yeah, so what was your moment? I'm sorry, I completely forget what we're talking about.
Not sure where we're going now, but now you've answered it, so that logistically works. Of course, it all depends. Of course, one thing we've learned with Triple H when he's actually allowed to book is there's always a good payoff. And I've got a funny feeling that last year he wasn't allowed to do what he wanted to do. Which is why Cody
didn't. Because of Vince McMahon, probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is why Cody didn't win last year. Because that would have been quite simple when we could have built to Rock and Roman one on one at WrestleMania this year for the head of the table, as it were. And we could have Cody versus Randy this year. We could have had that. People would have loved that. Didn't happen because of one reason or another. Yeah, so yeah, Frank Ryan's actually completely managed to nullify my bad cop moment, so I feel less bad about it now. That's good. Ryan's took my bad cop into a good excellent. Right, speed check again, being lenient with the time. SJ, do you have anything else bad cop related? If not, you may pass your time across to Ryan.
Nope, I pretty much went over everything, what I felt about my bad cop moments and stuff, so Ryan can go right ahead.
Strap in,
first
guys.
And foremost, little disappointed in Papa H. Lack of women past couple of weeks on Raw and SmackDown. And also, I feel like a lack of build for the women going into Mania. Very off, out of character for him. He's usually very, very good at this. I actually made the argument that it's time to quote unquote call up HBK from NXT, have him handle the women's division for main roster. I think he has proven himself time and time again in NXT that he books women real well. And I think maybe it's time for someone else to take over NXT, you know, bring HBK back into the mix on the main roster. On the AEW side, I was a little disappointed in Ospreay and Shibata. I thought it was a fine match, but I know Shibata has been off since his injury a couple of years ago, and it kind of made me sad to see kind of how much he's changed for his in-ring style due to his injury. I also didn't really understand the purpose of Swerve and Takeshita main eventing Dynamite. I feel like the main event should have been the Fatal 4-Way for number one contender for the TBS title. But and AEW pissed me off this week. Chris Jericho, I love you. You've done so much for this industry, and I respect you more than you can ever know. Stay the fuck away from Hook. Stop fucking latching on to younger talent. That's not why you're here. And also, your fucking proposition from last week was that you're going to offer Hook advice. Worst payoff ever. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. Though I will say, because we didn't do anything last week, this is not a bad cop moment. This is a good cop moment. Hook fucking German suplexing Jericho like 8 times was awesome. Just watching Jericho job to someone, it shows that he does still give a shit.
Hook can suplex me anytime he wants.
Yes, I know. You queer ass motherfucker.
Happily. Very happy queer, thank you.
I haven't made a gay joke this episode, so that's my low-hanging fruit.
To be fair, to be fair.
To be fair.
It's pretty low hanging fruit regarding because Hook is amazing.
Even with his shitty prison tattoos he got, even though he has money.
To be fair, no one's perfect. No one's perfect.
They look terrible. Anyways, I'm done.
You can cover them up with a shirt, it's fine. Sorry, I'm now
I'm sorry, one more bad cop moment. So Matt can sit here and be like, oh, Finn Balor, I wanna fucking go at those cum dumpsters of abs. And oh, Hook, man, I would do things to Hook. But if I was sitting here going, you know, oh man, I want a fucking motorboat Rhea, or damn, I'd like to smack Alexa right in her fat ass. I'm like, oh, misogynistic asshole over here. I'm just saying, double standard.
We're an equal opportunities podcast. You're more welcome to do that by all means.
I'd let Rhea step on my face. I don't care.
There we go.
See, equal opportunity. It's all good. It's all good. I'm not gonna.
I'm sorry. I need to rephrase. It's not cum dumpster. It's cum gutters. I believe is the term.
Correct.
Sorry to everyone who was like, well, actually, you're referring to cum gutters, not.
I'm literally picking the Daily Mail readers now. Leaning forward, and I shall write a letter, and then out comes the quill, sort of thing, something like Mrs. McGonagall, something like that. I struggled this week for speech for bad cop, so I have no speech check to give. So I'm going to say, anyone wanting to add to that, if it was rebuttal, SJ, if you've got anything you want to say about what we've said, go ahead.
Well, when he mentioned about Jericho going after Hook, saying, oh, I can train you, blah, blah, blah. Like, I mean, that's already, because look at how the Appreciation Society just left him. Like, you know, it's like, you're not good at, like, you know, training these, like, young wrestlers and stuff. Like, everybody freaking left you. Like, I mean, yeah, he's from Winnipeg, where I'm from and everything, but come on.
I mean, this is true. I mean, it made no sense storyline-wise. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Jericho is one of the best to ever do it in the business, for sure. But the way they've been presenting him hasn't really been adequate recently for this story to be accurate. It feels like Drew Gulak, Daniel Bryan Light, Pride of WrestleMania 36. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Rhino, you have a rebuttal?
No, I feel like I rebutted during my bad cop moment, so.
Very well, very well. Okay, we move on.
Good! Bad!
Right then, fan cop time. Let's have a look at what the fans have been saying this week. Rhino, do you want to gore your way through them?
Yeah, why not?
Who are you going to go for first?
Well, I see, I'm a little disappointed because I feel like I didn't see a message from my beloved this week.
There's one in there.
So, oh, no, I'm sorry. I did. Oh man, and is he the cock of the walk? Because he's got that cock. Dan Griffin at Dan Griffin 21 says, good cop moment. Some of the camera work I've seen in clips of Raw, continuous shots leading from one segment to the next, continuous shots for 1+ minute during matches, and that Rock entrance, great stuff. Bad cop moment, MCMG, of course, meaning the Motor City Machine Guns, leaving TNA. Sad to see the legends leave, but hope they return. Dan, just watch WrestleMania this weekend. You'll see them. I feel in my heart of hearts that we will see the Motor City Machine Guns at Mania. But
I have a feeling that... Are they in the TNA Hall of Fame yet?
I'm going with no.
Then they should be.
No, they should, absolutely, and they will be. Even if they're with WWE, they would let them do a TNA Hall of Fame.
Triple H let them do that. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, SJ, do you want to pick someone who replied and read out their moments?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm just going through it right now here on Twitter.
Other better social media platforms are available.
Oh, is it, where you have it?
It's on Twitter. I'm just saying that, you know, Twitter's a bit nowadays. Elon Musk is not one of our favorite people. Yeah.
Okay, so he read Graham's. Did you read MGB's already and Dan Griffin's already?
No, we're not reading MGB Graham's anything. He needs to submit his good and bad cop moments through the DMs like the rest of us have to, not just decide to be a little whiny bitch about it because we didn't like his takes.
And he showed up in the show as well.
Cheeky bastard.
All right. So I can go in and, well, I can read UTT Rob's.
Yeah.
Out. So for Rob, his what the fuck cop moment was the Undertaker is scared of cucumbers.
That just makes me.
And then his. No, go ahead. Go ahead, Matt.
That just makes me smile. I mean, the idea that
Rob's always posting good stuff on there.
He's 6 foot fucking 10, 300 pounds, and he's scared of cucumbers. He's not a cat.
I have an explanation for this. Go ahead.
You do. Okay, finish
up, and I will explain this to Matt.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Rob's bad cop moment was, why didn't The Rock throw Cody over the parapet? It was right there. It was almost ridiculous. He didn't. And then the good cop moment was Tony Khan and Eric Bischoff throwing mud at each other makes for great Twitter drama.
Agreed.
Anyways, so to my lovely co-host and our lovely guest, and to all of you out there in Radio Land who are going, why is the Undertaker afraid of cucumbers? So the story is, when he was a kid, his mom was making a snack. So essentially she was making pickles. She was soaking sliced up cucumbers in vinegar. So a little Undertaker walked in and said, yo, that sounds delicious. So he ate the entire bowl of them. Needless to say, little Undertaker then expelled all of those cucumbers violently. And now even the sight of them makes him sick. To the point where Paul Bearer used to hide cucumbers in everything he owned. In his gear bag, in his boots, in championship belts. Anywhere he could, Paul Bearer would attack him with cucumbers. It is a delightful story.
I thought I genuinely thought it would be way dirtier than that.
Nope, he did not have an unfortunate gardening accident, or as Matt calls it, Saturday night.
Fuck you.
Yeah, like fuck you don't love phallic objects.
Fuck you, this guy.
Anyways, Matthew, it's your turn.
It is my turn, this is true. I am going to go with High Five Tom. Probably what maybe we call the male version of SJ, the amount of he's such a good egg. Tom the good egg. He's a good egg, damn it.
Oh, he is. I actually just recorded with him just on Wednesday, actually.
There you go. Worth checking out, of course, here on VGM, of course. The good cop moment, though, although I haven't seen it, but JCB reports that Gary J versus People Mike Bailey last weekend at Grandel Wrestle didn't disappoint. And addendum cop moment. Sorry, I keep messing these, but I tweeted right when I saw it. Do you know what? We love you, Tom. It's all good. It's all good, buddy.
That's okay.
Tom's a good man, and we'll have him back on the show again before the year is out, hopefully. Ryan?
Now, it's time.
Okay.
For the real people's champ, JCB.
Yeah.
Good cop moment. Build for Cody Roman Angle was so good this week. WrestleMania is going to be a loaded 2 nights. Absolutely. The best build for Roman and Cody is the build where Roman's not there. And I'm not saying this to take a shot at anyone. It's true. When Roman's not there, it's so good. Bad cop moment. Not sure why Mercedes is even doing around the TBS title. If she's the star that she's being portrayed as, why even bother with a mid-card title? Holy shit, it's almost like Tony Khan doesn't know how to book women. That can't be right. Matt, can you check the records? Tony Khan, he has to know how to book women, right? Right?
You'd think so, but you never know. You'd think so. I mean, he had Jade Cargill hold the TBS title and only lost twice ever in her career in AEW. So, and she's now a megastar in WWE, yeah. So, you know.
And she hasn't even done shit. One match.
Yeah.
I mean, there was also Jamie Hayter, too. Like, Jamie Hayter was pretty good.
The best character in AEW is Toni Storm, and it's not even close. And that's not women's division. That's the roster. The best character on that show is Toni Storm. And to everyone out there, remember, chin up, tits out, watch for the shoe.
Yeah.
I'll do my best Mia Fey impression from Ace Attorney. It's fine. Right. I'm going to, at this point, go to another friend of ours on the network. He goes by the name of Eric. A good cop moment. Crossed off interviewing a wrestling promoter for Bucket List on the latest episode of the podcast. Bad cop moment. A bakery I went to wanted to double charge me for my sandwich since hot peppers were extra and I'd already paid before they said it was extra. Wow. Who does that? Who does that, Susie? Now, actually, I believe you know Eric quite well.
Oh, yeah, he's my co-host for free today. So, oh, yeah, that's totally something he would say.
I think I was invited onto a podcast by him today, too. I don't even know what podcast I was invited onto. I just show up when people tell me to.
Ryan just rock up anyway. Doesn't matter where it is. I should probably
figure out which podcast he was referring to.
Yeah.
Well, he has a few of them besides the Free Today one, too. So maybe it's one of his other ones.
Yeah. It's impossible. I mean, let's face it, at one point I had a lot of podcasts. At one point it's now pretty much as this now, which is fine, obviously. You know, not to keep me going, obviously. I'm a busy man nowadays. Okay, SJ, do you want to go to the next? Oh, SJ, or is it Ryan next? Sorry, Ryan. Yeah, Ryan next.
No, I just did JC.
Yeah, Ryan's next. Yeah,
really already. Sorry, I'm still trying to figure out. Yeah, no, it just says come on my pod to discuss this. So I have no fucking idea. It matters not. I'll do it. You heard it here first on Good Cop, Bad Cop Wrestling Podcast. I'll do just about anything for attention.
Yeah, I would like to point out before we go to the next one that Eric put another message in the fan cop moment this week, which does actually make me chuckle slightly because he actually says... Carnival of Chaos rules. She might be able to convince Nish to be nice to you and Matt for once. And then he actually says, who's the guy with the hockey cards podcast? That's my dude. Didn't even know Graham was the person who...
nobody knows who Graham is. I've yet to believe that Graham is a real person. I believe he might be an AI.
At this point, he might be. I mean, we didn't see him. He popped in earlier on.
Yeah, so
that was unexpectedly.
Yeah.
I'm actually looking and I'm not sure if we have any more.
And I just like to
I've got it.
Okay.
So I believe this is the end. I believe this is the final fan cop moment of the week. Over from Chat Grapple and Cheap Pops podcast at Chat Grapple Pops. Yes. There is an S at the end. Best cop, the final boss. So first and foremost, we need clarification. Are you referring to The Rock, Miro, or Samoa Joe? Just throwing that out there. We do need clarification, but I'm going to assume you mean The Rock. The Rock, the Dwayne Johnson. Worst cop, Mercedes on comms. We've talked about this at length. Just for Matt Cop moment, CM Punk in a fun segment. And you know, Matt, where WrestleMania is, it's in Philadelphia. You can't do WrestleMania in Philadelphia without Phil.
And as everybody knows, CM Punk is the person that has made wrestling fun again. He can't even wrestle at the moment. AJ, I don't know if you know this about me or not, but I spent pretty much the last 5 years on the show up until Survivor Series saying that Phil Brooks is the biggest piece of trash in general. I've not been a complimentary to him, but I've said some things since he's been back which made people think like Matt is just smoking out of his ass, basically. To be fair, CM Punk has had quite a return for one reason or another. I mean, if he rocks up at WrestleMania, referees a match, I don't think people will mind that. I think if he's able to appear on the show, it'd be a waste of opportunity.
He's going to be on commentary for the World Heavyweight Championship match.
It feels a little bit wasted putting him on commentary.
I don't know, man. If there's one thing that CM Punk can do, it's run his mouth. And no. I think it's going to be a phenomenal 25 minutes of him burying Drew McIntyre. Absolutely. And it's going to be very entertaining.
Absolutely.
And I also think that when Drew finally gets his moment and he wins the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania in front of a stadium of people, and then Punk jumps in the ring and hits him with the GTS, and then Damian Priest music hits and he comes out there and takes away Drew McIntyre's moment. Woo! My lord, I mean, I've got the vapors.
I mean, that's good booking, Dusty. But at the same time, I can't help thinking that it'd be more fun to just put a headset, like one of those like radio mics, on Punk, put him in the ring, add the ref, and have it an open mic, so basically he can trash talk him whilst refereeing, and the whole stadium can hear it.
I feel like somebody did that, and it was awesome. And yes, I agree with you.
Rock did it.
I feel like Ambrose did it too.
Yeah, Rock did it with Bulldog and Triple H, of course, didn't he?
Booker T once called one of his own matches while on commentary. He was doing commentary while wrestling, and it was a wonderful moment. But I think it's time to move on.
It is. It's time to go to the Devil's Advocate round.
Good.
Bad. So SJ, this is, of course, is our Devil's Advocate round, which of course is where we throw ridiculous statements at each other we do not believe in for 20 seconds. Like a promo battle, for lack of a better term. This is where we try and make each other laugh and not fill for 20 seconds. So, guest opportunity first. Do you have any Devil's Advocates ready for us? Or would you like to defend any? Or would you rather just watch us go at it? For lack of a better term.
Can I see you guys do it first and then I'll go from there?
Fine with me. Fine with
well-
me.
And I can open this up because I was sent a devil's advocate.
As was I.
And normally I would just blow Graham off because what has he done for me lately? But this one is so bizarre that my response was hit Canadian television show in honor of our guest, Trailer Park Boys of Bubbles going WTF. So, Matt, your devil's advocate from Juram is, I can think of no better way to honor Easter than trying to break the record of Bruce Patterson, who put 9 Cadbury's cream eggs up his ass.
I have been training for this my whole life. Do you know how easy it is to fit 9 eggs up your ass? If you do it with enough skill, you can do it without even the chocolate melting. You can do it so well. The wrappers as well, perfect. It goes straight up and then just slides out again in one gooey mass.
We're just going to call it time because I was struggling to get my timer up. Who is Bruce Patterson? Why is he putting Cadbury cream eggs up his ass? And my final main question is, how loose is this guy's asshole where the chocolate integrity doesn't just collapse? I'm sorry, I just don't see the logistics of this.
Nor do I personally. Right, I need to... Oh, God. Your devil's advocate from Graham for you. As I say, this is something that he's come up with. And this is also, I have to say, obviously, this is... If you understand the problem with what we're saying here, take it with our DA, Michael Pellegrini, that dying format. Graham, you need to defend this.
Nope. You shut your fucking mouth and you use the right name.
Sorry, Ryan.
Thank you.
Defend what Graham has sent you, this tweet, okay? You need to defend this statement. With WWE now using blood again, AEW must go to the next level to differentiate itself from the number one promotion. That's right, it's time for piss.
I mean, absolutely. We all know that bodily functions in professional wrestling lead to higher numbers. The highest rated era in professional wrestling was the Attitude Era, in which case we had the wonderful Rest in Peace draws throwing up in people's bags, in JBL's hats. That's time. But yeah, no, I love draws.
To be fair, WWE has had more public urine tests in the last 20 years and they have actually had blood matches. So I remember Punk having one. Vince made HBK have one live on TV. So it wouldn't be the first time that someone
DX's whole gimmick for a while was just like pissing on things. Their feud with DOA, they peed on their motorcycles. I think just Triple H and Shawn Michaels are like whipping their dicks out. I think that's, at the end of the day, that's just what they enjoy doing. And you know what? All the power to him. It's better than what Vince was doing with his. Ho!
Allegedly, it's been quite similar.
USA. What? Sorry. Anyways.
A lovely thing, quite similar, yeah. SJ, do you have anything you wish to contribute? If not, we can call it.
Because you guys are talking about, like, blood and fluids in the ring and stuff. I was just remembering, like, I saw this... I'm not sure if you guys saw that tweet that was going all over Twitter there, or X or whatever, where there was, like, a wrestler who, like, put, like, a syringe in his penis.
I think that was Sexy Eddie.
Yeah, and then, you know, like, people find that kind of shit very entertaining. So maybe, I know that was just gross or whatever, but if they brought more stuff like that, too, that could be a contribution to, the blood and the piss and all that in the ring.
Yeah, I think AEW should go straight past piss or shit or blood, and I want a live anal fisting. Like, just right in the middle of the ring, not even on pay-per-view. I want this on Dynamite. I feel like if we're going to go all out, just go all out.
That would for sure sell out the crowd.
Now, and all of this is mainly because Graham thought he was going to maybe make me say something weird, and I'm taking it and turning it into a full segment of just what more fucked up shit can we do in professional wrestling? What can AEW do to differentiate themselves? You know, anal fisting. You know, I want prolapsed buttholes on Dynamite. It's the only way.
We're gonna get canceled.
Look, and I'm gonna say it to everyone who's eagerly anticipating this Christmas cracker episode this year, the alternative Christmas crackers. My DA from last week is still worse than this. This is tame compared to the things I said during our recording 2 weeks time, 2 weeks ago. I need everyone to understand. I also need everyone to understand that I think it's time we start wrapping this up before things get worse.
I think so too. So SJ, thank you so much for being a guest on this week's episode. It's been an absolute delight. We'd love to have you back later in the year as well, if you have time in your schedule, of course. Why don't you tell everybody where they can listen to you, and if they want to reach out to you, how they can do so?
Well, first of all, thank you guys for having me on. It was definitely a fun time. I haven't laughed this much in a long time. But yeah, if
this,
you're
this isn't a
me,
joke.
Can...
This is very serious, just so you know.
Okay, I understand, right? But yeah, you can find me on like Instagram as Carnival of Chaos with a K. I'm on Twitter, Carnival of Chaos with a K. Like you said, I'm promoting Visual Global Media, like on my feeds and stuff. And I also do a podcast with Frigid A, which drops every Wednesday. We'll be recording one this weekend with our top five favorite TV shows. So it should be fun. But yeah, that's where you guys can find me.
Wonderful. Yeah. Ryan, any last words? Any last notes for you, sir?
That depends. Do you have any final words?
Well, my normal words are usually like, three words usually, so
okay, just making sure.
Yeah,
I've been reaching out to a particular wrestler, and I think it's time for him to change up his catchphrase. So I've given him permission to steal the Rock's ending promo from Monday night. And moving forward on AEW television, you will be hearing Jay White say, this is what happens when you fuck with the bag of dicks.
Indeed. Indeed. Look forward to seeing that. We'll be back next week. Hopefully Graham will be back and not sending the AI after us again. Again, AJ, thank you so much. We'll have you back again soon. Rhino.
Sure.
I think it's time for us to go. We're out of here.
The music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/